there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When sweet tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like sweet tarts twisted rainbow ropes, gummies fruity splits, and chewy fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet tarts, dare to combine. Visit sweettartscandy.com to shop now.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week, I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My passenger today is a stand-up comedian who has travelled the world on his BAFTA-winning misadventures, so he is just perfect to fly Easy Al Air. He's also one of my favourite people. I love this man. Please welcome on board the wonderful Ramesh Ranganathan. This is the final boarding call for Ramesh Ranganathan. Ramesh Ranganathan, this is your final boarding call. You have a Jack Russell when he gets excited, his willy comes out, won't go back in.
Wouldn't go back in?
Paul had to poke it in with a cotton bud. Paul, do you reckon if you get these dogs out again?
I've never heard that.
They want to be on the podcast.
I mean, they're all right, but Joyce, just sit down, lay down, because...
No, it's going to bother you. Yeah. Go on, out, any box. Out
all of his clothes. Oh, go on then. Out, because then the sooner we go on this, the poorer old Rom's on his day off. Come here, right.
That was so sad.
Oh, no, it's horrible, but they will be like Yeah. Rob Rinder bought his dog and it was snoring. It looked like he'd drifted off as I was interviewing him. Now, Ramesh, you're at the airport, you check in. Do you pop into duty free or are you over that now? Because you do a lot of travelling.
No, I do get very excited by duty free. It lost a little bit of its luster for me because I used to work at Sunglass Hut at Gatwick Airport.
Really? Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah, and for the first 6 months of doing that job, I used to like get so, because there's something about being in an airport. Yeah. Immediately you get excited, don't you? And so yeah. I was having that feeling when I went to work. I'd like go into work just absolutely buzzing, but then what would happen is I started to hate the job, but you know, it's work. Yeah. And then you see loads of people off on holidays, and that contrast between you being at work and seeing people go off, you actually start to develop a sort of a bitterness and resentment, and then it sort of turns to sort of a little ball of hatred inside you. But I still get very excited. I will pop into duty free.
Yeah. Though the prices are still the price that they are on the high street.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I still get excited. It's different though, isn't it? It's different money. It's a different thing. Yeah, I always look at aftershaves, sunglasses. I've bought so many sunglasses just on a whim.
Because I've seen you do on your travel shows, you've always got like really nice sunglasses.
Yeah, well, that's because like, every time we're about to fly out, I'll end up going and buying another pair. It's so stupid.
And do you ever speak to the people at Sunglasses and say, I've been here, love?
Well, do you know what? One of the things I find when you go into a sunglass shop is they're just on you so quick, right? And I know from... When I work there, they tell you to do that. You've got to approach the customer within 30 seconds of them coming in, right? But I don't know what you're like, but I like to just sort of just get in, just figure out, because I don't really feel comfortable with how I look anyway. So you just sort of think, I just want to have a look around there. I just want in a relaxed way, try on some sunglasses, and then they sort of go, oh, those look good.
Yeah.
And then So that happened to me once. I walked into a shop. I was on my way to do Misadventures. Bought a pair of sunglasses. They were really on me. And then I went out the shop and I just tweeted something like, has it ever been more than 30 seconds before somebody in a sunglass shop? Or something like that. And then I got loads of replies going, oh, look at Ramesh. Enjoy your privilege of not having to work in a sunglass shop and complaining about how people in retail have to pay. So sorry, Your Majesty, that you had to deal with people approaching you. Oh, I just thought, oh, God.
To the two customers that are in Sunglasses Hut, can you please either buy the sunglasses or get out the hut? Thank you.
But you know what made me laugh there? You said, I'm not happy with the way I look.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy with the way I look. But I think me and you are probably the people that have been most naked or in the worst clothes ever in the history of TV.
I know.
You know, I was watching the one where you went to Mongolia. I mean, I hate the way I look.
Yeah.
And I've come off Twitter now and I'm on Instagram. And when you have... And I don't think it is body morphic, because I think I am genuinely look weird. Yeah.
I saw, then we're going to shit me so hard in this. Have you seen me? Yeah. I'm actually being entirely appropriate for how my body looks.
I know. So I don't even think it is body morphic. I think I'm just minging looking. But isn't it weird? It's just, I've never, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it's never David Gandy who takes it, it's me. No. And I'm like, why me?
Yeah, but that's the other thing is I'm very suspicious about all of that. Because the first travel show I did was Asian Provocateur. And I said to them, I'll be honest with you, I'm not very comfortable about taking my top off, right? Oh, yeah. So obviously they went, yeah. But they were very excited. I didn't know that at the time, but they think, okay, great. If we want to push this guy out of his comfort zone, just get him to have to take his top off.
It's like when I'm a celebrity, when the person go, I mean, these idiots, they go, oh my God, I hate heights, I hate snakes, I hate spiders. I'm like, these producers are writing this down and they're planning it.
I know. Yeah, you're basically designing your own torture method.
Yes.
And so, like, but the thing is, you just have to accept, because every episode of Misadventures, at some point, I've had to take my top off, or I've been naked, or been in a horrible outfit, and I've realised it's because, and they go, oh, you know, you shouldn't feel ashamed of it, but what it is, it's immediately funny. If you put somebody who's got a nice physique in that outfit, it's not even a moment. If anything, it's just sort of like, oh, that, you know, looks all right, and that's actually pulled over, looks better than the Mongolians in that. Whereas with me. You put that on, immediately adds comedy to it. Just because it was really funny when you did that. And you go, well, what did I do? I just actually engaged in the activity and tried as hard as I possibly could. What you think is funny is because while I did it, I was wearing a thong. That's why you think that was comedy.
To the naked passenger in the third row, can you please put some clothes on? And when you're putting your tray table up, please can you use your finger? Thank you.
And you had that hat thing on. And then I think even the Mongolian man said, too much.
Yeah, it feels like you're taking the mic a little bit.
Yeah. But the thing is with your body, it is curvy, but just, you know, it's like hourglass figure, but sometimes the sands maybe in other places.
Oh, God, it looks like you know, like one of those, you know, those stress things. But it's one of those stress ball things. Yeah. But there's been a slight puncture internally, and so it's leaked out into the wrong bit. That's what it is like.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
we went and spent some time with an indigenous tribe in Sri Lanka who were still living the way that they have done for hundreds of thousands of years. They were making like a grass sort of waste thing for me. And even that, they said, oh, they're sort of talking about the ridge just above my waist. And I'm thinking, these guys have been making these for generation after generation. and they've come up against a body that's flummoxed. I felt so humiliated. I was like, they've been stumped by my physique. It's horrendous.
When you go away, and I mean, you must be bored rigid of your veganism, but I noticed, you know, like when you went eagle hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, was that you who genuinely said, look, I don't want to, because I'm an animal lover, I would not want to see her. I mean, you made a joke about it, but was you like, you really weren't happy about it?
It's a really interesting one, that, because I don't want any animals to come to any harm on any show that I'm doing. And I don't want to encourage that, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want it to happen as a result of our show being there. But at the same time, you have to be respectful of the cultures,
of course,
the cultures that you're going to visit. And I wouldn't want to turn up there and go, well, this is appalling the way you live your lives.
No, you did it well.
But what I always say to them is, to the production team is, if this is something that ordinarily happens, then I'm happy to go along and watch it happen.
Of course,
I don't want is something to be arranged on our behalf.
Yeah.
And so then they've created this thing for us, or they're doing this show for our benefit. If this is the way that they live, then I'm happy to go and observe and ask them about it, and that's fine. So for that eagle thing, I just said, I sort of, you know, the truth is, they would normally send an eagle out to go and kill an animal.
Well, I could guess that when that man came out the hut wearing that fur coat that Joan Collins would wear.
The thing is that even, you know, the stuff that doesn't come across on TV is they're so meat orientated for, you know.
Yeah.
Is that as soon as because we went and stayed with these nomads in the middle of the plains in Mongolia, and we had to find this little encampment of yurts, and we turned up there, and they just basically, they cook everything of a sheep, like everything in a big pot, and they eat the head and the gut, everything, absolutely everything. As soon as you walk into that, you smell of sheep. Like, it's thick in the air, man.
Yeah.
It's like, as soon as you walk in, you just sort of, I walk it in. You know when you get a contact buzz when somebody's smoking marijuana? I walked into the tent and I was like, I'm not vegan anymore. I've inhaled.
Sheep.
Yeah, I've definitely inhaled lamb. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. So.
Well, they don't get it. I remember me and my friend Hayley, we went to Tunisia and she's a vegetarian. And then, you know, they brought out goat. It was one of those coach trips where you just get served whatever you want. And this goat curry came up. I mean, she was horrified. She went vegetarian because they look at her like, what?
Yeah.
And then they went to the kitchen, came back, and they just scraped the goat curry off and it's still going back. And there was bits of goat still on it. But they have no, they look at you like, what?
I know.
What, you don't like goat?
I know.
Apologies to the vegan passenger who got the pork pie. If you'd just like to eat the crust and avoid the meat, thank you.
So what do you eat when you're in these places? Because you go to Colombia. I mean, I'm sure they get vegetarian food in Colombia.
Well, Colombia was good.
Zimbabwe.
Colombia was good. Zimbabwe was good. Ethiopia was surprisingly brilliant, actually, because they have they fast in Ethiopia, but their fasting is essentially vegan.
Yeah.
But you can get fasting food all year round. So basically, what that means is every restaurant in Ethiopia has got a vegan menu. And
you see, I'm a child from the 80s, so I find it still a little bit weird that Ethiopia, because like, Ethiopian restaurants. I know you shouldn't, and I'm being unwoke, but we are told, you know, we've all fundraised, my nan knitted a blanket for the poor people in Ethiopia. But, you know,
that's exactly,
it's like when you went to Serbia. You're thinking, oh my God, you're going to get shot. It's like, because Beirut apparently is a big party place. I'm like, Beirut.
I know.
Of course, Alan, get with it.
Yeah, but I think what you said about Ethiopia is absolutely, I mean, I know you're sort of, you feel bad about saying it, but the truth is, that is how people see it. If you think about it, at that time, through the 80s, we had that message hammered into us that Ethiopia was famine ravaged and you know, and also, you know, let's be absolutely honest, there's loads of jokes about, you know, about it, and it just became synonymous with starvation, didn't it? And all of that, and charity in Ethiopia just went hand in hand. And like the guy that was showing me around, Mike, he said to me, he wasn't even born when that famine happened, and he said to me, he knows that his country, for so many people, is defined by famine. And he said it happened before I was even born.
Yeah.
And
bad. That's bad, really.
Well, it's weirdly an unfortunate byproduct of success, really, because they wanted to get the message across. Get the message across. Unfortunately, it's lasted a bit.
Slogan.
Yeah, there's been no message cancellation.
So Ethiopia, so it's on its feet. It's fine. Is it cosmopolitan and stuff?
Well, one of the things we found, Ethiopia, as a country, in terms of natural beauty, in terms of, you know, things that you can see. We went to the hottest point on Earth, the Danakil Depression, and we saw these sulfur pits, and it's incredible what you can see out there. It's amazing. When we were there, the one thing that we had a bit of a problem with, not had a problem with, one of the issues we came up against, was that the government there would not allow you to say anything negative about the country. And so our guide, Mike, who was showing me around, any time you would even veer towards saying something or pointing out something that wasn't okay about Ethiopia, he would say, I can't talk about that. And not only would he say, I can't talk about that, he would say, I can't be on camera saying that I can't talk about that, right? Because he was actually worried for his life. Like, you know, he could get into... And so there were some points where, like, for example, we were walking through a market and there was a bit where it was obviously like a little bit of a red light district, if you like, in the market. And I said, what's down there? And he goes, I can't say. And then I said, well, can you just say I can't say? And he goes, I don't want that. And he started getting really panicky. So that was something that we wanted to tackle, because the thing was, I loved Ethiopia.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there then becomes like a moral dilemma to it about, well, on the surface of it, you can come here and have a nice trip.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that, knowing what's going on with the government? You know, do you feel like you can, in all good conscience, come and support it? But since then, it's got better. And I did a catch-up with him, and he said, you know, he started, like, saying things. He said, I don't like the government here. And he said, I that's not true. He said, but I can say that. He goes, if I'd have said that before, I would have got killed. You know, I would have got into real trouble. So I think things are... And there's a bit of trouble kicking off there at the moment, but I think it's part of their healing process, really.
But I think travel, you know, travel is the dilemma. And I'm a bit like you. I want to see all these different places. But, you know... Dubai, and I know they don't, you know, I know they're not very kind to gays and all that, but we all want a bit of winter sun. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, I'm for gay rights. I'm like, oh, I am looking a bit pasty.
if you
didn't go to a place where there was arseholes in government, you wouldn't go in. I mean, really, by chance, some of the things Trump said, I mean, you shouldn't be going to New York or Miami and stuff. It is problematic travelling. It is. And, you know, no one's guilt-free from it. And we all go places where something's shitty going on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, aren't you just got to weigh it up. But then I think, you know, the more, you know... That, you know, there might be some people who don't like gays, but, you know, they might like me and stuff. But it's interaction. That's the only way the world gets better. And you go, oh, I actually quite like that gay couple or that lesbian or whatever.
I know. And I think you're right. It's very complicated because, you know, if you go somewhere and you don't want to support that government, you go in and spending money in a shop helps that individual. It helps these people in these communities that are relying on that money, or it'll benefit them. So it's not as simple as going, I'm going to boycott this place, or I'm going to, you make your own judgments about what you do. But I'm not going to pretend that everywhere I've gone, I've made an ethically sound decision. You know, you have to make your own personal choice. But
I mean, and that bullshit about when you go to Mexico, give the street kids pencils and pens. Have you tried doing that? Honestly.
It's so pathetic, isn't it? Because you go there feeling all noble. Here you go, guys.
Yeah, here's some Percy Pigs. And they're like, you know what I mean? No chance.
Welcome to Easy Al Air. Today we're flying to Mongolia.
We'll move on from Mongolia. It's just I've always sort of wanted to go there. And what I like about the Misadventures, which congratulations on the BAFTA.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
you tell it like it is, because you watch some travel shows, you know, it is soft sell and you just know that you're in the pocket of the tourism board.
Yeah.
You didn't hold back on the pollution in, is it Ulaanbaatar?
Ulaanbaatar, yeah.
When you went to that place and you said, was you genuine about there was an energy there in the middle of the desert? Did you feel an energy? Is it lies?
I think, do you know what I think? I think that whenever you go to a place like a temple or a church or anything like that, and where there are people sort of, I think that you do feel I'm not saying it is something from the ether.
No, I'm not trying to make you
But I think you do feel something. And like, you know, when I went to, you know, similarly in Ethiopia, we went to this church that was built, that was at the top of this mountain or whatever. It's like a treacherous climb to get up there. You go up there, you go inside, and you do feel something. I was having a religious experience.
No.
It's something about those kind of places, I think. And that's part of the reason I do like going to those places.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. It's
well, look, me and him, we went to India and we went to the Taj Mahal. Now, me and Paul, as you mentioned, we are not the most spiritual, blah, blah, blah people. But I tell you there, I turned round to Paul and I said, there is an energy here.
Yeah.
There was a buzz. And Paul felt, you know, Paul felt, I mean, Paul, but I'm making out he's some like hollow.
Yeah. That heathen, even that heathen felt it.
Yes. He was standing there in his Crocs and his Just Add Beer t-shirt. And doing the Macarena, and he felt it. No, I said to him, I said, I feel something here. I feel there's an energy.
Yeah, I do think that. And I've been to a few places like that in all of the countries that we've been to. And you do feel there is something about an energy about that.
Does Sri Lanka have places like that that you felt?
Well, we went to, you know, there's loads of temples in Sri Lanka, and we went down and I did this religious ceremony at the end of this. They have this like really long walk that you do that I did in one of the episodes. We didn't do the walk. I cried it off, and then we went to a hotel and then just drove to the end. But we all included that in the thing because the BBC say you can't lie about those things.
You have to do all that, don't you?
And then when we got to the end, I did this. They did this thing where they had this religious ceremony at the end of it. It's a big, in this water, this holy water by this river, people washing in that river, and then they had these religious dances and stuff. And there was a guy that had driven a skewer, like as part of your showing your devotion to God, like he'd passed a skewer through one cheek and out the other side.
Yeah.
Right? And they said to me, would you do that? And I said, I don't know if I'd do that.
No.
But then, I tell you what I did do. We sort of caught up in there. They're doing this.
That's producers pushing too much now.
But
is like, someone needs to rein these. We need right. You know, people think we're all la-di-da.
Yeah.
We need right. We need a union.
Yeah, I know. Because then I'm in Sri Lanka and they're going, oh, have you heard about Ramesh? He won't put the skewer through his face. Someone's changed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have you heard?
You should go back to sunglasses up. Yeah, if you don't like being a TV star.
His Majesty won't put the knife through his cheek.
TV people, they are pushing.
Yeah, but I ended up doing it. I didn't do it through my face. I ended up just shoving it through my ear.
Oh, okay.
But the thing was is that it's just something about seeing all those people who are so devoted to it and they're so into it.
Yeah.
You just get caught up in the spirit of it
course,
a little bit,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I do think that's true.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Sri Lanka's on my bucket list. So right. I want to go there.
Yeah.
I did some research. What is it? Is that true or is that just to get you all confused and stuff. Does it have four climates? And sometimes you can be on the north and it'd be like,
oh,
raining.
Yeah, it's no, is that genuine? Yeah, that is genuine. It's you like you go up to the hills and it's temperate and cool and cold and the similar, it's yeah, you get everything there. It's an amazing place, yeah.
And if I went there, tell me one place I'd have to go in Sri Lanka.
I'd probably say,
is there loads of places?
There's loads of places, but I would say Gaul's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's really
the capital,
beautiful.
Am I right?
No, Colombo's the capital, but we can edit that out.
Colombo's the capital.
That's correct, Alan. Yes, yeah.
Thank you.
But Gaul.
Some people think Gaul is.
Yeah, yeah. Idiots think Gaul's the capital, don't they? Cultural morons think Gaul's.
All right.
But Gaul's where they got the cricket ground. But that's not why I'm recommending it.
Go in there, love.
I know you love your cricket, Al.
I'm always at the Oval. I'm always at Wimbledon. Always. Love that cricket.
But yeah, it's lovely.
Is there nightlife in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, we went clubbing in Colombo, actually, when we rapped on the show. And one of the things they do, with this nightclub that we went to, they sell these like garlands of flowers. Mm. It's an incredible racket, actually. So they sell these garlands of flowers, and then every like maybe half an hour they stop the music, and then a group of really beautiful girls come out and start dancing, like in formation, sort of. And then guys sort of go up there and put the garlands on them to sort of show I really like you or whatever. And nothing happens. That's it. You literally just put the garland on. Then they go off with the garlands on. And then they come out and resell them. it's incredible. But people were loving it. But the nightlife was great, man. We spent a lot of time hanging out in the clubs there. It was fun. Colombo is like, you know, it's like any city, really. Yeah. And then I remember like when we were out there, we were, I think Arsenal were playing, I don't know if it was an FA Cup game or something like that. And then I just tweeted, does anybody know somewhere a good place in Colombo to watch a football? And there was like a sports bar just like 2 minutes walk from our hotel. Oh. And it was like being in a sport, like it was a proper, like there were Sri Lankans in like all kitted up and stuff, like proper hardcore football fans. It was great. It was lovely.
Has your celebrity travelled over there? Have you got like roads named after you and shit?
Sadly not, no. Oh. No. I'm doing a gig over there next year.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't know. I've got no idea. It's so funny because like, they started showing Asian Provocateur on Sri Lankan Airways. Yeah. So I know that like there's a bit of... It's known in Sri Lanka, the show. So there's a chain of hotels, Cinnamon Hotels, and they run live shows over there, right? And so they said, I would Ramesh be interested in coming over and doing a gig. Yeah. So off the curb, our agents were like, what's that, Sri Lanka? Yeah, they'll come over there. That's right. What's the guarantee on that? But then what happened was is they wanted to just see my act. So that one of the guys from Cinnamon Hotels happened to be over in London doing a meeting. And I was doing a show in Newcastle. So this guy travelled to Newcastle. This Schlacken guy travelled to Newcastle to come and watch the show. I've got no idea what he made of it. Like a Geordie audience on a Friday night. But yeah, so I think it's got a lot of everything, really. Because if you wanted to go there for like shopping and have... And just eat in nice restaurants and stuff. It's got all of that. But you can also go to the tea plantations. They've got beautiful hotels there. You can surf there. Oh. You can go and do Ayurvedic treatments, you know, the kind of herbal stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of that. Like, you know, it's got a lot of everything, really.
And am I right in thinking sort of Sri Lanka sort of getting into tourism big style or now?
I think somebody said to me that last year or the year before, it was like the number one TripAdvisor list of places. It was like up the top there for places to visit. I think it looks beautiful. It looks really beautiful. And obviously they were ravaged by civil war for such a long time. Yeah. And now that's kind of on, you know, to all intents and purposes sort of, you know, come to a stop. Mm. Although you do hear stories about a little like problems here and there, but they do luxury hotels really well. Yeah. But similarly, you can go and do kind of, you know, backpackers go there and have a nice time. So, yeah, I think it's got...
Because we were talking earlier about how problematic sometimes visiting places, but sometimes tourism can sort of, like, not knock civil wars on the head, but it can show them another way, you know.
Yeah, I think...
This is very flippant, you know. No, but what I'm sort of saying is, you know,
No, but I do... I actually think you're making a great point, because... the truth is, you know, Sri Lanka has been associated with that for so long, and it is a beautiful country. And actually, it's a shame. You know, obviously, it's very sad that, that's all happened there. But actually, bringing tourism money into there, you're right. You're actually, what you're saying is right. It helps bring the country out, and the industry grows in that regard. And you see it being known for something else. I think it's good, you know.
Because I remember cycling back from Radio 2. This might not stain, because I this is how ignorant I am.
Right.
But there was something about Tamil tigers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was nearly knocked off my bike by this person with this placard, something about Tamil tigers. I put on Twitter, end up being mixed up with the Tamil tigers on my cycle home. Well, I won't be putting that on Twitter again. I don't know, because it's the way they say Tamil tigers.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Tamil TT, that sounds quite funny.
It's alliteration. Yeah.
But they were like, do you even know what you're saying? And I was like, oh, shit. I mean, I'm not taking sides. It's just, I thought it was quite humorous for me to be cycling home through the park.
Alan Carr,
a Sri Lankan thing with Tamil tigers.
Yeah, Alan Carr involved in a Tamil tiger practice. That is, I mean, that's a nice juxtaposition.
This is your captain speaking. Please drink irresponsibly. You're flying Alan Air.
We've actually been on holiday together. I say holiday, I mean a League of Their Own road trip.
Sure.
And I think you're a bit like me. The stuff they get to do, some people would... I mean, I know my friend, I said, I went cliff diving in Ibiza.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. We didn't go cliff diving, did we? We went cliff jumping.
Oh, yeah.
What we were doing was very far from a dive. But you're right. People would love to do that.
Yeah.
Ibiza, jumping off a cliff into the water, that's like dream come true stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we were feeling anxiety about it.
Oh, my God. And then can we talk about La Tamotina? I mean... Honestly, I'm feeling a bit sick.
Yeah, you look like you sort of repeated on you there.
What's that town where they throw tomatoes? Bunyol.
So it's Bunyol. So
Bunyol. You remember that? How do you remember?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. But
can we talk about how disgusting it is throwing tomatoes? Because I thought this sounds amazing.
Yeah, I did
but
too.
But people are scooping tomatoes out of the gutter and then throwing them in your face.
Yeah. So basically, I think the tradition was... How they explained it to us was they used to have loads of surplus tomatoes in that area. And so they started this tradition of taking the waste tomatoes and throwing them at each other. Right?
Yeah.
That's how the tomatina started. Yeah. And so basically what happens is we just stood there. One of the traditions we didn't know about was that for some reason they grease a pole and hang a ham from the top of it.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the traditions is to try and get that ham down, which you really threw yourself into, didn't
well,
you?
Well, I was bored
and
I was pissed,
which
is weird because it was about 10:30 in the morning. Because what they don't say in the tourism thing, the whole village gets pissed.
Yeah.
And we pulled up, they were the remnants of a rave going on in the car park because they shut the town.
Yeah.
You cannot get in. And thankfully, it was really lovely. They let us in.
Yeah.
And everyone is off their head.
But we arrived at 9:30 in the morning and it looked like we were at the latter stages of a party.
I know.
The way that people were. It was crazy, man. Just walked in there. We walked in. There's just some bloke. Do you remember we pulled up? There's just some bloke pissing into the road.
Oh, yes.
Just absolutely hammered.
I know.
And so you went to try and get the hat. I actually thought you were going to get it for a second.
I know. I was so close. And I was like, you know when you get pissed? You're like, let's do it. And I got on to Freddie's thing and everyone was cheering. It was like, really. But then the ham and then slippery pole. But the festival cannot happen until that ham has got off. And then people were trying. I mean, there was people like just throwing themselves
people really going for it.
But the smell and the stench... Because you think, oh, lovely fresh tomatoes, but these they were minging.
They were disgusting. Like as the truck, the truck comes down, and they just drop off loads of tomatoes. I say tomatoes, it was like tomato pulp, isn't it? Basically, it's like they're all they're all mashed up and smell rank and horrible. So it smells like when you have one tomato in your rubbish that's sort of going off, it's a bit minging.
Yeah.
That's just how the whole town smells, right?
Yeah.
And then they drop it all off. People are just scrabbling around.
Off the floor.
Yeah, off the floor, scooping up and throwing it in your face and stuff. I would say we enjoyed it for 35 to 40 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I mean, you in particular, Alan, you tapped out so early doors.
Well, I turned. You know, TV funny man, always, I was like, get me the fuck out of here. I was to the producer, I was like, I've had enough. I stink. Get me out of here. Get my agent.
Yeah.
And then, well, actually, I was like, get my agent, because when you opened your mouth, someone threw a tomato in it. And then this is another thing, getting back to Ethiopia. I put that picture up. How many countries could these tomatoes? They wouldn't want them in Ethiopia because they're mean.
It just that I saw that. It really pisses me off. This thing where you just saw, this is the tomato. By the way, we didn't start the tomatina. Okay, this is something that happens every year, right? We didn't ask them to put it on, and then you turn up there and they go, "There are so many people that would have loved those tomatoes." Would they?
No, wouldn't. They will.
I would argue it's far more insulting to box up a load of shitty old mouldy tomatoes and send them to places. Going, you're welcome.
Yeah.
We got this for you. Congratulations.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll pop that ham in that I've shimmied up a telegraph pole.
Oh, just those people. Shut up.
I know. And also, you know, the place, what's it called? Bunyol?
Bunyol, yeah.
Bunyol. That, the tourism it brings in.
Yeah.
People pay. I mean, chill out. Just chill out.
I know. Just relax.
And these aren't juicy, lovely tomatoes.
I'm so sorry we didn't export the minging tomato mush to whatever communities you want them sent to.
Yeah, I'll put some ratatouille basically in a jiffy bag and send it. People don't think.
No, they don't.
They don't think.
No.
They've got a judgment for everything.
Yeah.
Your passport, I mean, have you got, because you travel so much, have you got extra pages in there now?
I've got two passports.
Oh.
I've got two passports because I'm sure that's legal. They told me it was legal.
Oh.
But there's some places, like, if you've been to Colombia and then you've got that on your passport when you go to the... Obviously, that it's all electronically stored, so it's not like they can look, they can see if they want. But I think sometimes people get funny when they see your passport.
If you go to Israel, you can't go to Cuba, isn't it? And stuff
I think,
like
there's
that.
All sorts of little things that make it slightly more difficult for you when you're going to certain places. But I've got two passports. I've got, and I've I've separated. I try to avoid any. It's like the fox, the chicken, and the bag of grain. Trying to figure out which countries you put in which passport.
When you do get time with your wife and kids and stuff, where do you go? Does the travelling for business and, like, for TV, does that spoil your trip abroad now? Do you find yourself wanting to go out in England, in the UK, Scotland,
Ireland?
Yeah,
well, we do a bit. I mean, a lot of the places that I've gone to with misadventures, I've thought to myself, I'd like to take the kids here when they're a bit older. Because at the moment... Yeah. They don't want to see, you know, they don't really want to see that. They've got
this
no interest.
This is Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, exactly. Bunker. Yeah, this is his old drug den. They're not that
the paintball. I can't believe they paint.
I know. I did say to Hazel, who is my co-host for that, said to her, I know that Colombia's trying to get past this reputation, right? So why have you got paintball? Why have you got paintball going on at Pablo Escobar's old holiday home? It doesn't really make any sense.
Especially where he was shot dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it is a bit... I know, he was bad news and like that, but, I mean, my God, yeah, anyway.
But we do a lot of...
What about Bouncy Castle or something
I know, exactly,
that
yeah.
Less, you know.
Yeah, or... just have, like, you do barbecues there or something. but we do a lot of holidaying in the UK, actually. Particularly, obviously, this year, it's sort of out of necessity. One of the places we go to Cornwall a bit.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the kids just love that. That feels like a proper holiday. I know that you feel like if you're doing a staycation or whatever, you're sort of making all these compromises, blah blah blah. And I know that British weather's a problem, but in terms of it's just so lovely. We go out there, we get a little Airbnb, like a little place to stay. And then just do loads of outdoor, like the kids love doing all the outdoorsy stuff. We go to the adventure parks.
Yeah.
We go to the mazes and all that kind of stuff. Mm. They absolutely love it. And the restaurants and stuff down there are lovely. It's really nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny. I did some filming down there recently.
Yeah.
In Charlestown, where they film Poldark. And we just need a little skit of me coming out of a pasty shop.
Yeah.
And we went in one, and one woman went... We ate tourists here. I felt like saying, love, well, don't have a pasty shop in the port where they film Pole Dog. Little bit of career advice.
Here's a tip.
Yeah. And don't ever sign pasties here. That was a one-off, to be honest, because and the woman who was very kindly showing around the port, Charlestown, which is gorgeous,
yeah.
And they got like a lovely shipwreck museum. It was beautiful. She went, I'm so sorry for that. She said, you know, 95% of us down here love tourism. And yeah. She says, we need your business in lockdown. She says, sorry for that. But I mean, it just tickled me. Get a job in a bank if you don't like people. But yeah, but I mean, I love Cornwall. I think the people are
the only the thing I found terrifying is driving around there, though.
Oh God, yeah.
Because you know, like the it's so narrow, and the locals are obviously so used to it, so they're hammering it around there or whatever speed, and you're going along there, and it's very difficult to tell whether you're next to a hedge or a wall that's hidden by a hedge.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean, and the number of times we'd be driving along having a nice little time, then a truck would be coming the other way, and I turn to my Lisa and go. Looks like we're going to be reversing for about 3.5 miles.
Oh, I hate
that.
Do you
know what I mean? I get so... You're sort of panicky. You're sweating. You're just, just looking just... Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh God. Am I all right? I'm all right. Sort of, the kids are sort of going, we're supposed to be on holiday, Dad. Why are you crying?
And then those turning points. I mean, what?
You know, like, the stopping bays or whatever.
Yeah, oh, please.
Just utterly terrifying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then they all laugh as well. Because like the couple of times, you sort of, when you slow down, you sort of see the locals going, it's Tosser, look at him, worried about killing his family in a car crash.
This is your captain speaking. And remember, here at Allen Air, smoking is not only allowed, it is encouraged.
Now, you do travel everywhere. Is there anywhere that you really would like to go?
One place I'd really like to go, just in the spirit of misadventures, is Iran. Because obviously there's people get nervous when you start talking about Iran, but it's actually meant to be beautiful. And actually, from doing misadventures, one of the things I've found is, one of the things that's most... exciting is when a place surprises you, you know, and in the way that Ethiopia surprised me, I was surprised by Zimbabwe, Bosnia I went to, I was really so I think Iran is somewhere where actually it's meant to be an incredible place to go. I think Iran probably, and also I've never been, I've heard it's unbelievable, is Japan. I'd love to go to Japan.
I've been to Japan,
Is it amazing?
The thing with Japan, because, you know, it's one big global village now.
Yeah.
I'd love to have gone to Japan 20 years because apparently it was like the future.
Yeah.
But now you go, we've all sort of caught up with Japan.
Yeah, right.
But isn't it, it's just lovely. And you know, the cherry blossom and everything. But the shops are, it's good to put yourself somewhere you do not know what the signs say. And then there was like, and because it is so odd there. And then we saw a shop, me and Paul were like, had a few drinks and we're like, oh, let's go clubbing. And there was this shop. And a woman dancing in the window, like, let's go there. It sold towels. We were like, two, please. Two. I was like, oh. Oh. It was like this. So it's that kind of weird.
This is good. She's spending. Do you have an evening here?
Yeah.
No, once you've paid for your towels, could you leave?
Yeah. Asking for waitress service in a towel shop. No, but then also what you should do is, because Tokyo is very built up and obviously bombed during the Second World War, you should go to the Shogun's Palace in Kyoto. It is amazing. The old bit.
Right.
The Shogun's Palace.
Oh, okay.
And when you're walking round, there's a creaking on the floor. And you go, that's a bit odd, but that's what he used to have. And he would sleep in the middle. So if anyone was coming to
kill him,
you would hear the floor squeaking and then you would know. So he's got loads of history.
Oh,
and temples and stuff
that
have just been there for years. And they're so polite and lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is just a quick fire round. This is 10 inane, pointless questions.
Go for it.
Chicken or beef? Oh, no, you're a vegan.
Yeah, I would go...
I see a flaw in these questions.
I would go fake chicken.
Fake chicken. Yeah. Do you like tofurkey, or is that too far?
I haven't tried tofurkey, but when I was in LA, right, I went to this junk food place, and it's a vegan junk food place. It's like a proper diner, and it had all of the stuff you'd find in a proper American meat diner, but vegan, right?
Yeah.
So they had like bacon double cheeseburger and all this stuff. One of the things, so I said to the waitress, I said, what do you recommend? And she said, the hot wings are incredible, right? So I said, all right, I have the hot wings. So it's like fake chicken wings. They, inside, they had a wooden peg, like inside it to simulate the bone. And I just thought, I don't think I need this. Like, that to me is like, that is a simulation taking a bit too far for me.
Because that's people's bugbear with vegans. You're like, yeah, well, why are they trying to make our food look like meat? If they don't like meat.
If you hate meat so much, why is everything that you eat a simulation of it?
Yeah, I'm a very aggressive friend. I don't think I've had a friend who said that. No. But that's what people say, don't they? They go,
You know, there's that impossible burger that bleeds, isn't there?
Oh.
Vegan burgers that bleed. I did a vegan video once, just sort of saying I think vegans are better than not, just to be deliberately antagonistic. Yeah. And I became the subject of this anti-vegan sort of hate group. And like, I got sent a video of these Americans going, I'd rather eat real food, and just throwing these vegan burgers into the bin as if like I was invested in the company or something. I had nothing to do with it. But people get super militant about it.
Yeah, yeah. Street food or a la carte?
Oh, street food.
Yeah. Factor 50 or chip fat?
Factor 50.
Scuba diving or paddle?
Oh, paddle.
Yeah, I've seen you cliff diving at Ibiza. I could have answered that one. Oh, I think I'm into nudist or not on your nelly. Oh my god.
Not on your nelly.
Oh, okay.
And my mum took me to a nudist thing, didn't
No.
It's actually not that far from here. But like, my mum one day, she said to me, she said to me, this is when my dad was alive at the time, but she said to me, Romish, somebody's invited me to this club. Dad doesn't want to come. Could you come with me? I said, all right. Right? I said, okay. It was like an open day thing, right? So we pull up outside, and she goes, okay, this is a guy from work had like asked me. So I go, okay. I said, what is it? She goes, it's just like a social club. So we walk up the driveway, and there's a bloke like fixing his car, completely naked, right? And I looked, I was like, holy shit, what's going on? And my mum did not bat an eyelid, right? So I was like, okay, what is going on here? She didn't say, I can't do it, come on. We go in, it's like this naturist club, right? And we just sort of walk around, and they just show us around the facilities. There's naked people playing squash, naked people playing basketball, naked people playing tennis, naked people swimming. And we're sort of walking around, and I'm there with my mum. It was so weird. I was like, have you got me into this situation, man? At the end of it, they sort of said, they wanted my mum to join, but they said, we don't really have single men. And I said, I just want to be absolutely crystal clear on this. Yeah. I did not know I was come to check out a naturist place with my mother. But I don't think that's weird. You wandering around with your mum, there's nothing creepy about
that. I think I've seen that play. I think it was on a Channel 5 documentary.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Desert or ocean?
Oh. I spent a night in the Sahara, and it was really amazing.
Is it cold at night?
Yeah, really cold. We tried to set up tents, but we couldn't do it because it was so windy. So Bobo, who was like my co-host, like the guide, he just said, let's just sleep on the ground. But in the middle of the night, I needed a piss.
Yeah.
And I walked, and it's sort of slightly terrifying because there's like all sorts of spiders and shit like that. So I was just walking off at like 2 o'clock in the morning, it's pitch black. And I pissed and the wind changed. And I just sprayed. It's like two o'clock. It's so bleak. 2 o'clock in the morning. I just stood, just sprayed myself with my own piss. But apart from that, it was. There's something amazing about being that alone. Do you know what I mean? It's an incredible thing. So yeah.
So what, like an energy kind of feel, or just I just think like, you can't like hear anything.
He went for a walk, right? Yeah. And so the crew dropped us off there to spend the night, you know, filmed us.
Yeah.
And then they went off to like a camp. And so it was just he and I. And then he went off for a walk because he loves doing that. And then I was sat on my own. And it just, you're so on your own. You can see this, you know, everything about it is like actually mentally, it's quite weird. I wasn't anticipating it being that that kind of strange to me.
Because I think even when you come out of London and you look up and see the stars,
yeah,
I feel like, because during lockdown I got this app. You know, we're all a bit weird during lockdown, didn't we? I started doing jigsaws more, and then I got this app looking at the sky. And then my next door neighbour's security light, I think it's a bit shit, this app. It thought that was Venus. My next door neighbour's security light. And I was like, that's not the plough. Thank you, Rom. Have you enjoyed your flight?
Oh, it's been lovely, Alan. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, I love Rom. She was great. Listen, if you loved the podcast, please subscribe and why not leave a positive message? If you hated the podcast, jog on. No one cares.